We will pause for a few moments of silent prayer, and you may use that time for rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for another opportunity to continue the examination of your immutable word. Contained in our souls is the opportunity to respond to your truth. Our free will, positively focused on your immutable word, gives power to each individual to have historical impact in their own personal lives. May that opportunity be utilized at this moment to further aggrandize the power of the pivot in Client Nation America. And to these ends, we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. We left off on page 71. It's a new document. And we made it down to point 28 when time caught us at halftime. We noted there that from this system, we're able to borrow some ideas that will help us illustrate from American jurisprudence teaching aids that explain the ongoing legal drama that exists on this earth. We have wisdom because we have doctrine, and because we have information that is immutable, we have therefore the opportunity to have historical impact individually within our generation. So we have established that Lucifer and his minions have sinned against God. They have been tried, and they've been found guilty. As a result, the lake of fire was created in eternity past as the penitentiary where the convicted demons were to be incarcerated for all eternity. This shows the compartments of Hades. This is where those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ go, a place called paradise. That's Luke 23, verse 43, referred to as Abraham's bosom. When Abraham died, he went to paradise. But those people in paradise were transferred with Jesus Christ into heaven when he ascended into heaven. They were in interim bodies, not resurrection bodies. And there is a great gulf fixed that separates all the rest. And therefore, that great gulf prevents anyone down below from advancing over to paradise. And there's the torments department, Luke 16:23. And then there are angels. Tartarus and the abyss and the sea doors have to do with various categories of angels, and they're noted down below. Then there is the lake of fire. The lake of fire emerges as a repository for those who fail to believe in Jesus Christ as well as the fallen angels. That'll be at the end of human history. So you know people. You know people that rejected Jesus Christ as Savior. And as a result of that, they did not acquire the type of eternal life that would take them into the eternal future with Christ, but rather to the environs of the lake of fire. And those incarcerations will occur at the end of human history. And it is that concept that we find our situation with Lucifer and the fallen angels. Now, they are sentenced to the lake of fire, but they do not occupy it until human history is over. And so there's going to be all of these things that will systematically play out over time. But in the process of human history, we do know how things actually end. There is a plan and there's a system, and God will honor it. We know where we are going to go. The day that you die, if that precedes the rapture, the day that you die, you're absent from the body and face to face with the Lord, interim body. Therefore, there will be a time for the resurrection, and that is what we call the rapture of the church. And that's when we get our resurrection bodies. And we've studied that in detail. And Paul's had things to say regarding this in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians and chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. And therefore, we know our future. We are confident about that. And if anything provides for us a mental attitude of no fear, it's the absolute knowledge, the immutable concept and doctrine that we have an eternal future and will have a resurrection body at the appointed time that God decides to close the church age. In the interim, we know that absent from the body and face to face with the Lord is the standard that will be followed up until that time. But we are in a wonderful position to have a relaxed mental attitude in the midst of chaos. We know where we're going. We know how we get there. We are well advised on the concept of the rapture of the church. It's next on the prophetic agenda. So it really doesn't bother us whether we die and go to heaven in an interim body or just happen to be alive at the rapture and get a resurrection body instantly. The reason I'm saying this is because even in a period of time, historically and presently, when things seem to be as bad as it can get, it's not really for us. If we're left here in order to do God's duties, we're here to grow in grace. We're here to perform the duties that the Holy Spirit guides us to employ until the day comes we either have the rapture of the church or we die physically. Our duty is to grow in grace and apply what we know without fear. The last option that we ever want to select is fear. We have walls of fire. We have guarantees. We have eternal life. So therefore, we trust God to use us, especially in this moment of fear that is paralyzing this client nation. We're not the ones that can choose fear. We have documented that the guilty verdict was rendered before human history was introduced in the Garden of Eden in the personages of Adam and Esau. They are our grandparents. They are our blood. They fell. So have we, because when we were born, we had a sin nature. But we had the opportunity, as they did, and they also accepted the opportunity to place our personal faith in Jesus Christ for eternal life. And in so doing, we become witnesses for the prosecution. So when you net everything down, that's why we're here. We have a job to do. Our job is to grow in grace. Our job is to use the wall of fire that is provided to us when we're filled with the Holy Spirit to move forward and to keep moving forward with our spiritual growth and the application of the things that we accrue in our soul in this hostile environment. We are the invisible heroes, and all we have to do is stay in fellowship and grow in grace. God uses those who go by His system and therefore keep moving forward, and they do it without fear. We don't have opportunity to be afraid. Now, some people got afraid because of the COVIDs, the plural. And then now there seems to be 4 or 5 COVIDs. And if you get the COVID, you get the COVID. If you don't, you don't. But neither option is a source of fear. And that's just one example. You leave here, you get on the interstate. Are you afraid when you get on the interstate? I mean, are you dumbstruck with fear when you fire up the engine out in the parking lot in about 30 minutes? Why be afraid? You still have a wall of fire there. All you have to be is filled with the Holy Spirit and keep moving forward. We have further documented in this invisible war that as a result of sentencing Lucifer and his demons to the lake of fire, therefore occurred, yet this event has halted by the divine stay of execution. So stay is a word that we need to use as a legal concept. A stopping or suspension of procedure or execution by judicial or executive order. This stay is a term used in American jurisprudence when information is brought forward following a conviction, but before incarceration occurs. The defense has the legal privilege to stay the sentence and petition the court to hear its appeal. Although this procedure is part of American jurisprudence, it serves as an excellent explanation of why the guilty verdict reached by the Supreme Court of Heaven was stayed. I've got Black's Law Dictionary, and I'll be pulling from that. But the stay of an incarceration, you're going to be incarcerated in the lake of fire, and therefore that verdict was appealed. You can do that in a courtroom today. So using that as an illustration to explain my favorite diagram here. The stay meant that what happens out here, the last judgment, is because the sentence here was stayed. That's a legal term. In other words, put a stop to everything because the defense wants to appeal the verdict. Now, that's the jurisprudence from England and the United States. But it is an illustration that helps you understand what's going on in between all of this. So if I may use the definitions and the procedures in American jurisprudence to illustrate how this could happen, then that's what we're up to. Lucifer petitioned the court with an appeal, a legal tactic he used to stay the implementation of the sentence to the lake of fire. For this appeal to be heard before the divine court of appeals, then witnesses for the defense and witnesses for the prosecution must be called to testify in the courtroom which God decreed would be planet Earth. He's going to bring forth witnesses. Lucifer's got his guys, and they asked for a stay. And therefore, the stay was asked to be imposed and allowed so that they could appeal. The first to be called were witnesses for the prosecution in the persons of Adam and Eshar recorded in Genesis 2. So this is before the divine court of appeals, you see. The divine court of appeals that obviously had to have that right here. The only way to explain why this arrow jumps over time to this area right here is that something had to go on back here that permitted that to occur. Human beings were not on the planet at this time. They were not an entity at this time. And therefore, the verdict was given here and the sentence was announced here, but it was not carried out. And then we have the human race appear. The only way to explain this is to use a term in American jurisprudence that allows that kind of thing to occur in our courtrooms. So to repeat a couple of points here, for this appeal to be heard before the divine court of appeals, then witnesses for the defense and witnesses for the prosecution must be called to testify in the courtroom which God decreed would be planet Earth. The first to be called were witnesses for the prosecution in the persons of Adam and Eshar recorded in Genesis 2. Lucifer already has his guys. Now, the first to cross-examine this couple was the cherub-rank angel Lucifer himself, Hillel ben Shikar. At this point, we're now going to consult Black's Law Dictionary for the definitions of what is about to take place in the Garden of Eden. Number one, the Divine Court of Appeals is now in session. Two, Lucifer is the attorney for the defense. 3, the two witnesses for the prosecution are Adam and Esau. And 4, the attorney for the prosecution is God. There are some idiosyncrasies in the following definitions of appeal. Nevertheless, they clearly reveal why God allowed this legal tactic to be used in this appeal. And all of the following excerpts are cited from page 124 of this excerpt. First of all, the word appeal. When I say page 124, I'm talking about Black's Law Dictionary. First of all, appeal. The complainant to a superior court of an injustice done or error committed by an inferior one whose judgment or decision the court above is called upon to correct or reverse. An appeal is merely a continuation of the original lawsuit. It's not a trial. There's no such thing as an appeal trial. It is an appeal of the original decision of the court. Appeal is sometimes used to denote the nature of appellate jurisdiction as distinguished from original jurisdiction. Appeal has no conclusive meaning, and it is necessary in each instance to look to the particular act giving an appeal to determine powers to be exercised by the appellate court. An appeal is a step in a judicial proceeding, and in legal contemplation, there can be no appeal where there has been no decision by the judicial tribunal. In other words, there has to be a verdict to come down in the original trial before an appeal can be offered or pled. Appeal differs from trial in that it is a review on original record after that has been made in accordance with well-recognized principles of judicial procedure. Now, that's legal gobbledygook from Black's Law Dictionary, and you see at the bottom of the page my reference. But it is going to be our illustration that makes perfect sense and does describe what is going on with regard to our appearance here on planet Earth. There is an appeal underway, and we're witnesses for the prosecution. How do you know that? Because we're the ones that are going to stand fast for the Word of God. We're the ones that are going to stand fast for the truth. We're the ones that God can use in this appeal to therefore verify and confirm the original verdict was absolutely perfect and therefore should be executed. And therefore, Lucifer has an appointment with the lake of fire. However, the appeal must go forward in order to determine that it can be upheld in the end. So we're in a contest. That's where we are. And if you're ever into, like, sports, you know, pick your sport. You got a time period. The time period says, okay, like it's a football game, somebody blows the whistle and you kick off and there you go. And it's nothing to nothing at that point. And each side wants to win before the final whistle blows. And people are screaming and hollering and pulling for one or the other. But at some point, the clock ticks to zero. And whoever's got the number, the biggest one, wins the ball game. We know how this turns out. We do. We have absolute confidence in how it turns out. But it is imperative that we are one of the best players on the field, and this is why. We know prophetically that we win the ball game. But prophetically, it includes those who've placed their personal faith in Christ and then become good witnesses for the prosecution. We know that we're on the winning side, but our duty is to be good soldiers for Christ in the process of this entire, let's call it drama, that's being played out in what's called human history. And it is a drama. It is from these definitions that we're able to project the sequence of events that occurred in time, which take place between the sentencing of Lucifer and the fallen angels, following their fall and the incarceration of them at the close of the dispensation of the millennium. Between these two events is a period of time that involves human history. Human history occurs in time. It begins with mankind's innocence and continues up to the incarceration of Lucifer and the fallen angels. So during this period of time between the divine, when the divine court of appeals is in session, when the human race was created, human history began, they are the first witnesses to take the stand in the court of appeals initially for the prosecution. Who are these guys? Adam and Esau. The first couple the first couple duplicated the conditions common to the angels before Lucifer's fall. They were created perfect, although they soon became witnesses for the defense by committing the original sin, first by Eve and second by Adam. So this fall by the original couple duplicated the fall of Lucifer. Adam and Eve and the angelic myriads were created perfect, but both used their free wills to fail. Dumber than the angels, yet we followed suit. So it doesn't matter whether you're brilliant or just ordinary. You got volition. So following the fall of mankind, both they and the fallen angels find themselves as witnesses in the divine courtroom called planet Earth. And you can't get out of the courtroom, except by death, of course. Adam and Eve initially testify for the prosecution, followed by two, the fallen angels, who testify for the defense. The verdict has been stayed because of the appeal, and we are witnesses, supposed to be, witnesses for the prosecution. But you can only be a witness for the prosecution if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Therefore, you have eternal life, and then you have to learn how to do your part over the course of the appeal in your lifetime. So mankind was created to duplicate the conditions of the prehistoric angelic conflict. They were created perfect at their creation, but by volitional choice, they chose to violate divine policy. This provided both evidence and precedence for Satan's appeal. The fall of man replicates Lucifer's fall, and both did these things in a perfect environment. Lucifer's environment was perfect, so was the environment for Adam and Esau. So perfect environment did in no way aggrandize decision-making, for volition is free. Therefore, the arguments presented in the Divine Court of Appeals initially cover events that transpired during Old Testament history. So, the rebuttal phase of the prosecution is coterminous with the Christocentric dispensations. This is the rebuttal phase, the hypostatic union into the church. And so Jesus Christ and the invisible heroes of the church age are witnesses for the prosecution. That's who you are. You are in this ballgame. You're in this courtroom. You are a witness for the prosecution. How do you do that? Grow in grace, make good decisions from a position of strength. Lucifer presents his rebuttal during the tribulation. His rebuttal arguments are characterized by violence and anti-Semitism. One of the dangers Client Nation America presently facing is there is anti-Semitism percolating in the souls of many in our government. I never thought I'd see the day that Client Nation America would have a contingent of citizens, especially those in governmental power, to be anti-Semitic. Not only anti-Semitic, but to support the opposition. We're closing arguments. In summary, the prosecution includes the second advent, the millennial reign of Christ, These duplicate the conditions before the fall of Satan and the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. So Satan's closing argument is the Gog revolution at the end of the millennium. All right, let's do the four phases of Satan's appeal. First was sort of a summary. Now we do a sequential. Here's the introduction. There were two categories of jurisprudence associated with the fallen angels. Number one, the formal trial. This occurred in eternity past, which resulted in the conviction of those angels who rebelled against the authority of God. These angels are referred to as fallen, which indicates they were found guilty by God and sentenced for eternity into the lake of fire. So this is the formal trial where evidence is presented. So again, Matthew 25:41. God will say to those on his left, this is Christ speaking, by the way, "Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared." That's a perfect passive participle of hetoimazo in eternity past, following the prehistoric trial is when this occurred. And this includes the devil and his angels. So we have the appeal. You can see the excerpt on pages 72 and 73, which we've already noted. But nevertheless, this judicial proceeding was granted in eternity past, but did not occur until the divine court of appeals was called into session in time. Now, the first proceeding in the appeal occurred when the prosecution introduced its witnesses. That the prosecution presents witnesses. This occurred over the course of several passages, beginning in Genesis 1:24, concluding with Genesis 2:25. This introduces witnesses for the prosecution. These witnesses were created perfect, no sin nature. So we start out good here. God named the first witness Adam. The Hebrew has a TH sound for the D. So it's Adam in the Hebrew, Adam in the Greek, and it means man. Then we have Ish Shah and Gune. I like to point out, just because it's interesting to me, because we had to abbreviate this because it tangles your tongue. If you look at the Hebrew characters for Ish Shah, it starts out with what I call an apostrophe. It's not, but I call it that. And the little dot down below has to do with the I. And then what looks like a W is an SH or S sound. If the dot is over the right-hand side of the character, then it's an SH. The dot internally to this letter is a doubling concept. So you have an SH sound twice, and then also you have the vowel point at the bottom, which is an A, and then you have the H sound at the end. So the correct pronunciation, because of all these dots, is Ish Shah. So we don't really put up with that, so we just call it Ish Shah. I just wanted you to know. So, correctly pronounced, it's Ish Shah, but it's easier to say Ish Shah. And then if you go to the Greek, it's Gune, and it means woman. So we got man and woman here after all of that. So phase one, the formal appeal. The formal phase of Satan's appeal occurred during Old Testament history, beginning with the fall of man and continued until the first advent, that is the incarceration of Jesus Christ. Okay, that's the formal phase. Then we have Adam's fall repeated that of Lucifer's, and he and those subsequent to him continued the process as did the fallen angels in the past when one third of them joined the rebellion. So now, okay, we've got the Lucifer and his boys, that's eternity past. He led the rebellion. One third of the angelic population of the myriads followed him. 2/3 stayed with God. Therefore, God introduced the first Homo sapiens into human history, yet created lower than the angels. Extremely important, that point there. Created them lower than the angels. The question arises, why lower? Because if he was to call it off and says, no, I'm standing with the verdict, no appeal is going to be allowed, and so you guys go to the lake of fire, there would be 2/3 of the elect angels left functional, with somebody potentially within that group aggrandizing himself to the angelic population and fomenting yet another rebellion. And these are genius people. So how is it, what's God's rationale here to bring stupid people into this? That if the stupid people can make the right decision, then that trumps anything that the brilliant guys could come up with. We've got people way dumber than you are that have made the right choice. So don't come at me anymore with your stupid ideas about running this show. That's the idea. So to repeat, God introduced the first Homo sapiens into human history, yet created lower than the angels on purpose. This fact is certified by the conclusion, by and conclusive of true humanity of Jesus Christ, who is described thusly in Hebrews 2:7. Now remember, the humanity of Christ is less than the angels. You following this? He is a perfect human being, not a perfect angel. Got that? For a brief time, you, God, have made him, Jesus, lower, inferior than the angels. You see this? That's purposeful. He's a perfect human being, but less than the angels. It says it right here. So this guy is going to be smarter than the entire angelic community. And he's going to give all of those people called Homo sapiens a heads up on how to behave. What is it that you follow me and you're going to have eternal life? So you, God, have crowned him, Jesus, with glory and honor which belongs to you. That's Hebrews 2:7. The issue being addressed in the appeal is angelic volition. That's where it all started. Lucifer's volition decided to become arrogant, and he recruited 1/3 of the myriads to follow him. And then, of course, it all came down to ultimately a trial. So volition is an attribute of the soul common to both angels and men, thus making them free agents with regard to personal decision making. You are a free agent. You can make any volitional decision you want to, good, bad, or indifferent. You are a free agent. You have, the Bible gives you, under aletheia, it gives you guideposts about the law of liberty. Okay, don't go beyond this, but whatever you want to use your volition for, you may do it. And you may choose your volition to follow the truth. And so you line up with the Word of God and you grow in grace and you have all of this information available to you for application in your personal life. When you sin, you need to confess it and then get back in the ball game. But once you place your faith in Christ, you're a member of the royal family of God. You have an eternal future. You'll go to heaven when you die and all of the rest. But what you do not have, what you do not have available to you is anything that will get you through life in the devil's world during the time of the appeal without an inventory of biblical ideas that are absolutely true. And you can be saved if you want to, but you cannot endure unless you have the Word of God. And this fallen environment will eat you alive without the Word of God. And that's where we are, Client Nation America. Christians falling in line with the dark side. Good grief. For a brief time, you, God, have made him, Jesus, a little lower than the angels. Don't miss that sentence. So volition is free. The individual, angel or man, has the autonomy to make independent decisions, good or bad, just or unjust, righteous or unrighteous, right or wrong. You're a free agent. And the free agency can be therefore managed and controlled by volition when the volition has access in the soul to doctrinal absolutes. Otherwise, the sin nature will run the show and you'll think it's a good thing. That's how you buy a lie. That's how Christians are buying a lie today. They don't have a filter to understand what absolute truth is, as opposed to those that sneak in ideas that are sold to the dumbos as the way things ought to be. Therefore, God designed mankind with free will, thus making them equal with the angels in this particular way, although without their physical attributes and capabilities. But we're still the guys that are going to win this thing in the end. We, meaning Homo sapiens. We, believers in Jesus Christ. We, the ones who have the power and the ability, as less than the angels, to accrue divine thought and make application of it in the devil's world. We have that power because the Holy Spirit makes it available to us. If you understand absolute truth, it does not vary. There are negatives and positives in that. Do not do this, and it's an absolute don't do that, and it's okay to do that, and it's okay to do that. All of this comes together. Free will is the issue. And therefore, free will or volition has to be managed by an inventory of ideas that are absolutely true, facilitated, and therefore applied in the hostile environment of the devil's world. You have to know the truth before you can apply the truth. And that's why boring Bible classes have to convene. The fall of mankind in the garden duplicates the fall of Lucifer in eternity past. So, the sequence of events in the appeal includes arguments presented by both the prosecution and the defense. The first phase of the appeal begins with the defense, which covers the theocentric dispensations of the Gentiles and Israel. Okay, so theocentric dispensations. See, I got to put my thing back up. Theocentric dispensations. Gentiles and Israel. They hash that out. This is followed by the prosecution's rebuttal contained in the Christocentric dispensations of Christ and the church. It's Christ and the church. When Adam fell, Lucifer became the ruler of this world, the genius but fallen cherub-ranked angel who represents the fallen angels. So Lucifer's genius is off the charts when compared to the mentality of Homo sapiens. However, the management of the human race over the course of millennia is far more than even Lucifer's genius can consistently manage. The management of the human race, get this, there's many of us, about 7.5 billion on the planet, all of them moving here. The management of the human race over the course of millennia is far more than even Lucifer's genius can consistently manage. His efforts are focused on the creation of a perfect environment equal to that God produced with the original creation of the universe in Genesis 1:1. And which he restored back to its pristine perfection in Genesis 1. Chapter 2b through chapter 2, verse 4. So, when Adam fell, so did the planet. Since then, it's been Lucifer's desire to restore the earth to its former perfection. Do you know that this whole deal that's going on presently about having to stop the globe from warming? They have their rationales for it, I'm sure. I don't understand them, but I'm sure that they're well thought out. And they want to do things where the globe doesn't warm. Okay, so that's their mission, to do this. Somewhere way back in the crevices, way back, Lucifer had a board meeting. And he said, you know, when that couple, what were their names? Oh, yes, Adam and that woman. When they sinned, everything sort of collapsed. But I think we're smart enough to restore it to its perfect condition. And this is how we will propagandize all of those people he's unleashed on us, the hoi polloi called Homo sapiens. They think they can outfox us, but we will convince them that they can have a perfect environment yet again. Although they're fallen, we can get them back to the original. We'll just teach them how to do this. We'll tell them that we have to do something to restore the perfect order that started all of this. And we will convince them it's doable. Let's tell them that the globe is warming, and that if it warms too much, then everybody's going to die. And they have to, if they'll follow us, we will show them the way to where everybody will be happy as punch before it's over. And everybody says, great idea, let's run that play. And so the play is being run. And here we sit with a bunch of people trying to tell us that the globe is warming, as if God's taking time out. He has absolute no interest in the perfect environment that he created from the beginning, and everything is working just fine and dandy. We have, by the way, that trigonometry we mentioned earlier. All of that's keeping the entire universe functioning right on schedule. Nothing has missed a beat so far. Trigonometry, they call it. Job, of all people. So here we are, guys, being told that the globe is warming. And I just tell you, Joe Henner and I are going to get in a car in about 2 weeks, and we're going to drive to the very top of the country, right on the lip, where it's not always warm. We're going to be in a place that gets really cold, frigid, ice, praying for warm weather. And if we continue with this concept of trying to get away with the warmth, then pretty soon we're going to all be living as icebergs. But that's the plan. And if you think that's a good idea and it's all well thought out, just remember this. Who thought this up? Who runs the show? Who runs this planet? Who follows who runs this planet? That guy named Lucifer. He's your enemy. And the only way you can stay free from him is the word of God in your soul. Whatever man decides to do, whatever ideas they put in place, quite often, they're just minions for the dark side. Your job is simply just stay in the bubble and grow in grace. See you back here Wednesday evening. Father, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity of studying these things today. It is our prayer that the Holy Spirit will take what we've noted and make them real to us, that it may be facilitated in our souls for application into the hostile environment of the devil's world. We lift our prayer of gratitude in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen.